Welcome to the Soul Talks podcast, where we equip pastors, leaders, and other men and women in ministry to thrive with Jesus in their life and leadership. Now let's join Bill and Christy Galtier, doctors in psychology, spiritual directors, and founders of Soul Shepherding.
Hello, Soul Talk friends. It's Christy here today, and I'm not with Bill today because I have the honor and privilege of having a Soul Talk with our new friend and fellow author, Dr. Barbara Peacock. And Barbara is also a spiritual director like Bill and I and like many of you. She's a teacher, an intercessor, an author. Barbara earned her DMin from Gordon Conwell University. She is well studied and learned and experienced in spiritual formation and also teaches spiritual direction as well as practices that. So Barbara, we just have so much in common. Bill and I really appreciated when your book first came out, Soul Care in African American Practice, because the Lord had blessed us to have African American friends and people that were coming to our Soul Shepherding Institute. And we wanted to understand more of your story and background and culture. And your book was so helpful to us. And then now to be so excited about your latest book from Revell that I have here in my hand. I was blessed to read it this month. Spiritual Practices for Soul Care, 40 Ways to Deepen Your Faith. And it is rich. It is beautiful. I have just loved reading each of these short chapters of each spiritual practice that really has deepened my faith and blessed me. They're familiar to me, and yet to revisit them and to hear them through your perspective and such a beautiful writer and fellow disciple of Jesus, it's blessed me. But also, I'm really excited because one of my favorite soul care practices was practice 37 in your book, and that was storytelling. And I loved that because I hadn't really intentionally thought about that as a spiritual practice or as a spiritual discipline, another word for this. We talk in our institute and our training programs and spiritual formation programs about really disciplines or medicines. They're medicines for our soul. They're things we need. And I was sad that I thought, well, I've never consciously thought of storytelling as a part of that. And yet it is so important. It's been key to Bill and I in our life with reading spiritual biographies and taking heart from other heroes of faith. We even have written Our Souls of Fire, a little ebook that we have in our Soul Shepherding shop on some of our favorite Black heroes of faith, like Martin Luther King and Jerina Lee and Harriet Tubman and Samuel Morris and Charles Tinley. And we've been so inspired by them and been excited to share their stories. And so we're so excited. We've learned so much from our African-American and Black friends. And so we're so excited to have this opportunity to hear from you today and share you with our community.
Yes, it's good to be with you, Christy. And I am excited about our time together today. Thank you so much for inviting me. And together, we look forward to what God is going to do and say during this conversation. So God bless you.
Yes. Thank you so much. I want to just read a little tiny bit of your writing here in the storytelling chapter for our listeners to hear, because it's so good. And you, like us, just love Jesus, are devoted to Jesus, and it comes through in your books. So you wrote here, the Bible's full of stories. Jesus was one of the greatest storytellers of all time. In the Gospels, we find numerous stories and parables that have endured through generations, 42 spiritual lessons and stories in the form of parables, and how these teachings have imparted life lessons that continue to speak to us today. So good. Thank you for just highlighting that as such an important and central spiritual practice. Tell us a little bit more about how the Lord invited you to realize the gift of storytelling as a spiritual practice.
When I think about the disciplines and practices that we embrace in the formative community, I always like to share with those that I'm teaching or ministering to that anything that we encourage you to do as a practice, we should see models of it in the Bible.
That's right.
And I believe that storytelling or the parables of Jesus resound loudly in the canon, in particular the New, well, only the New Testament, of course, and mostly in the Gospels, well, all the, gospel, in the Gospels, when Jesus tells parables and stories. And so we look at a multiplicity of disciplines that Jesus practices. Jesus practiced silence. He practiced meditation. He practiced fasting. He practiced listening. He practiced contemplation. And he also practiced storytelling. And could it not be that we hear more in the parables than we hear more of his voice through the parables than we do any other subject that he talks about? So if Jesus honored telling stories and using stories to bring truth, prior to our conversation today, you and I were, prior to this conversation before the podcast, you and I were talking about a journey that I had with a friend that I met over 50 some years ago. That's a story. And there's much involved on that journey where we can see glimpses of the Lord. But Jesus told stories and told parables. He was always pointing to a point. He was always making a point, a lesson for us to learn. And likewise, when we tell stories, they shouldn't just be something that we talk about just for the sake of talking about, but what's the moral of this story? What are we to learn from this story? How can we apply this story? How is this story helping someone else? And again, how does this story bring us closer to the Lord?
I love that. And certainly Jesus' stories have been so important to me personally and to all of us who follow Christ. We're so thankful for his stories because they break through our defenses sometimes, or they surprise us, or they help us to relate and know we're not alone and to understand the kingdom of God through his stories that he tells. And I think, like you said, to really take time to think about Jesus's life. And even I love the way that Ignatius in the Ignatian exercises leads us in meditating on the life of Christ. That's one other example of our looking at the story of Jesus's life and really meditating on that through the Ignatian exercises. That's been really powerful for me. And I know so many people throughout the centuries.
Yes, and also I love the prayer of examine by Ignatius, and how really when we do and participate in the prayer of examine, and in particular as we reflect on the highs and the lows of the day, that's really revisiting our story of the day.
That's right.
What was the high of your day, and who were you around, and how do you increase these times, and what was the low of your day, and who was around, and how do you decrease? So I see storytelling even in that as well. Yes.
Oh, definitely. I think that's so important. I think it's really a very important discipline for us that we are taking time to reflect on our own story and that we come to discover God's story in our story. That has been such a grace for me. That's something that we write about, Bill and I, in our book, Journey of the Soul, and we encourage our readers to actually take time to do what we call a journey map, which is a reflection on their life story and really looking at the consolations, the desolations, the times they felt close to God or they haven't felt his presence, and looking at the stages of emotional spiritual growth, which is what that book's about. Because as we do that and we begin to put that before us in what we call a map, it's just a way to put our story on a board and to see, it's always so surprising and amazing how the Lord highlights ways that he's at work in our story, or our story is a part of his story that we missed, that we weren't aware of. And so often we find as we do this that it helps us to just rejoice in the Lord and grow in confidence and faith in him, and also better participants in his story through our story. Do you relate to that?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. One of the disciplines I really like is writing of the spiritual autobiography, which was can be traced back to St. Augustine of Hippo.
Mm-hmm.
And
the first one.
Yes. And so as we write our spiritual autobiographies, one of the key components is to connect the dots of our spiritual journey and to see the activity of God in our life, whether there were highs or lows. Because so often when we have experienced challenging times like losing a child or losing a parent or experiencing injustices or experiencing abuse, we felt like we may have felt isolated or alone or abandoned or lonely or experiencing grief and like, why God, why God? And when Job asked God, why? God responds with who? God says, were you there when I laid the foundation of the world? And so God wants us to know who is still present in the midst of our whys. So writing your spiritual autobiography or doing benchmarks or writing about your journey helps you identify the hand of God, not just in the high moments, but in the low moments. And God is saying, no matter what happened or what is happening, I was there and I am here with you today.
That's right. That's
right. It's very unfortunate that during the Reformation, that so many of the practices that were previously embraced were expelled, or was in this thesis. But I believe that I would like to say that writing one's spiritual autobiography or identifying the benchmarks of one's journey is imperative for disciples to better understand God, to better understand themselves and their journey, to better work with each other and loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Because when I have dealt with my own inner emotions, my own pain, my own highs, my own lows, my own joys and fears, I've dealt with that. So when I come and sit with or spend time with another person, and I'm not speaking necessarily of me personally, but when you do the work, it has tremendous benefits.
That is right. We so agree with you on that. In our Soul Shepherding Institute, our first week of our spiritual formation retreat, we really lead and give opportunity and guide all the retreatants to take time to look at their family formation and look particularly at least one story from their childhood, maybe looking at it through their family roles, which we look at and talk about, because we all have received a spiritual formation and it started in our families. And to really look at that story, what story were we born into? How is that affecting our story? To really take time to look into that. And then we have the opportunity to share with another person who will listen to them with empathy. And we need to be heard in our story. And we need that story validated. And then we need to receive empathy for the hard parts of that story. Yes. And then so that we can agree with God's grace. And then to be prayed for as we carry forth in that story. And that has been so powerful for me personally, to be able to go back and look at my story. My story had a lot of pain early on. I experienced abandonment because of an early hospitalization I had to have as a newborn baby in order to save my life. But that has been, anybody that wants to understand Christy needs to know that part of my story. And I would imagine, Barbara, you have parts in your story that are like that too. If I want to know and really understand you, I need to understand some of the key and most important formative things in your story. And then the grace of how God has redeemed that. And that's my story. As I took courage to really go there with God, then he showed me that he actually wanted to make me a wounded healer. That he actually, through my own pain of knowing that abandonment, I could actually have a greater empathy and ministry to others that have experienced that. And I'm sure you have a form through your experience as well.
Yes. Most of us, if we've lived long enough, we've had several of them. Mm-hmm. And, I can definitely relate to the abandonment, but I can also relate to other incidents, like losing my sister, you know, and we lose parents. Kind of like, okay, my parents were older and their time on earth, you know, they spent 70 some years or 80 some years. But I lost my sister several years ago and she was only 58. And so when I turned 58, she was older than me. It was very difficult. But what I learned through the process was, in the grieving process, what I was, because I asked God, I said, why am I grieving her? I felt more than I grieved my parents. And I says, the Lord saying, you came out of the same womb. You came out of the same womb. And so my mother was my mother. My sister was my sister and my mother, and my friend.
Yes.
Mentor. She had so many roles that she played in my life. And so that's a part of my formation. And so if we were to be better equipped to sit with others and to love on others and to care for souls that God has given us, it's important that we deal with our own stories so that we better embrace and have compassion with other stories.
That's right. And you and your sister were also witnesses of each other's stories and holding that history together of that and being in your family together. And there's a special bond that can come as we journey together and witness each other's stories and hold that, hold each other's hearts in that. I want to ask you a question. You shared with me that today's your birthday, and I just wish you such a happy birthday, and I'm so honored you're spending your birthday with us. But I wonder, on your birthday, will you reflect on your story and God's faithfulness to you in your life and today? Will you practice this story today and storytelling today on your birthday in any way?
Yes. Thank you, Christy. In 2014, I had major heart surgery. I was born with a mitral valve prolapse. And in 2013, I was experiencing shortness of breath and the blood was regurgitating. It wasn't pumping properly to my body. So here we are 10 years later from 2014. And I'm 10 years older. And I learned, I lived to experience it. And I lived to talk about it. So for me, that's a great reminder of the goodness and the grace and the power and the presence and the love and the mercy and the healing power of God. God is really a healer. And as we age, we experience different aches and pains. And I like to remind myself that I'm already healed by the stripes of Jesus. Just like David encouraged himself in the Lord.
Yes.
I have to encourage myself. But I also have another little story I would like to share.
Great.
I would like to share this card, which was from my Caucasian high school girlfriend. Our schools were integrated in 1969. I went to an elementary school and a middle school that was founded by my great-grandfather and some other men. And he and these other men founded the church and the school. And so when integration occurred for our community and we were literally bused to another community, it was a challenging time.
Yeah.
But even in the midst of adversity, God blessed me with a friend called Susan. And Susan and I had not connected in over 30 years. And we reconnected last year. And she handmade this card. And my husband and I are preparing to go on a cruise, and I knew I wouldn't be receiving any cards in the mail on a cruise ship, but I wanted to bring this card along. And today she sent me a text wishing me a happy birthday.
Oh.
So the crux of my story is that God is faithful, that God is a healer. He's a repairer of the breach, and that he's our ultimate friend, and he gives us friends here on earth, like Susan.
I love that.
Thank I would like you. To sing a little song, if you don't mind.
Please, that would be wonderful.
That I learned from my fourth grade teacher, Mr. Petzer, who was a white teacher. And growing up as an African-American, prior to that, Black, prior to that, Negro, prior to that, color, prior to that, slaves. And in my first book, Soul Care and African-American Practice, my focus was to identify origins of spirituality of people of color. Because before we were transported on slave ships, we had spirituality on the continent of Africa. And one of the purposes of that book was to identify formative disciplines that we practice as a people. And I, in that identification, it was important to share an entry point for spiritual direction and spiritual formation from an African-American perspective. And God gave me the vision of the slave ship, how we cared for and nurtured and loved one another on a slave ship, even though we may have spoken different languages. And even though we were in bondage, we still cared for and loved one another. We practiced soul care in the in the rain, in the heat. During sleepless nights, we loved on one another. During times when each other died, because they often chose to jump ship than to remain on the ship because they didn't want to be a slave. So when Mr. Petzer taught me this song in fourth grade, and it's part of my story, and it sums up a lot of what I do and why I do it.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing this.
Good night, I said to my little son, so tired when the day was done. Then he said, as I tucked him in, tell me, Daddy, what color's God's skin? What color is God's skin? What color is God's skin? I said, it's black, brown, yellow. Is it red? Is it white? Everyone's the same in the good Lord's sight. He looked at me with his shining eyes. I knew I could tell no lies. He said, Daddy, why do the different races fight? If everyone's the same in the good Lord's sight. What color is God's skin? What color is God's skin? I said, it's black, brown, yellow. Is it red? Is it white? Everyone's the same in the good Lord's sight. Everyone's the same in the good Lord's sight. Everyone's the same in the good Lord's sight. Good Lord's sight.
Amen. Thank you so much. I love that. As we end our soul talk today, would you be willing to say a prayer for those that are tuning in to us today and listening to the Lord and reflecting on their stories?
Yes. The final point I make in Soul Care and African American Practice is not about how much we are different as it relates to spirituality, because spirituality doesn't have a color. Because God is the spirit.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter.
Yes.
So God, I pray for unity in our country, in our land. I pray for healing globally, But I also pray for healing individually. I pray for us to better understand our journeys so that we can be better disciples in the kingdom. I thank you for our time together today, and I ask that you bless each and every listener, that you will bless them exceedingly and abundantly, above all that they could ask or even think, according to your power that works in them. Help us to love you. Help us to receive your love. Help us to love ourselves and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So much so that we will be like David, that our cups will run over, and we will not only have enough for ourselves, but we'll have enough for others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Barbara. Such a joy to be with you today and to follow Jesus with you and to be knit together in him and participants in his story together. Thank you so much and happy birthday.
Thank you so much and God bless you.
Thank you.
To learn more about our new class on a certificate in spiritual direction that's starting soon, just use the show notes with this episode or go to soulshepherding.org, and then in the menu you go to For Helping Others and then Become a Spiritual Director.
Thank you for joining us on the Soul Talks podcast. To find out more about growing in your life and leadership, subscribe to the podcast and visit us at soulshepherding.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram